Detroit's image across the country and around the world is that of a city not only in decline, but perhaps beyond hope. In story after story, we've all seen modern-day Detroit and the remains of long vacant buildings and streets lined with overgrown, burned-out houses. National Geographic has recently presented a different look at the Motor City. Current state Scott Pohl is here with more. What's going on in that May issue of the magazine, Scott?
Well, Mark, National Geographic has done an extensive story in the May issue called Taking Back Detroit. The magazine's new editor-in-chief, Susan Goldberg, grew up in Ann Arbor and is a Michigan State University graduate. In fact, back in February, she was back on campus, and you interviewed her about that job. When she decided to feature a story on Detroit, she reached out to longtime Detroit Free Press writer and columnist Susan Ager. I talked with Susan Ager this week about her first National Geographic assignment and her approach to telling Detroit's story to the magazine's global audience. Susan Ager, welcome to Current State.
Thank you, Scott.
This was your first story for National Geographic. I'm curious about whether they approached you with this idea about a story on Detroit, or did you go to them with this idea?
They approached me out of the blue. I worked years and years ago when we were both young and green with Susan Goldberg at the Detroit Free Press. Susan Goldberg went on to become the editor of several American newspapers and was hired about 2 years ago as the first woman editor in National Geographic's century-plus history. She called me out of the blue. She wanted a story about Detroit and thought, since I was a native of the city and had worked there for 25 years for the Detroit Free Press, that I should be the one to do it. I wasn't so sure about that, but I got over my anxieties and plunged in. But she called me last August. Originally, they were going to run the story in September, a year from when the assignment was made, but I think I helped persuade them that everybody in the world was writing about Detroit, and we would look very late if we held it that long, so it appeared in the May issue.
How much leeway did they give you to tell the story of Detroit your way? You chose not to talk with, say, Mayor Mike Duggan. Rather, you went out and met the people of Detroit. Did you get to choose that direction on your own?
Yes, I decided to do that. Susan had told me that she wanted... I remember in our very first conversation, she said to me, "I want to know how anyone can stand to stay in that city." And she said, "You know, how do you live your life day to day with, you know, no street lights and crime and bad streets and all this?" And I said, "Well, Susan, I'm not sure that's the story. You know, I think everybody in Detroit knows that things are changing. They may not feel that things are improving necessarily for them, but they see improvements around them." And so, I mean, we just went with it. She was not my immediate editor. I had an immediate editor named John Hopeful, who was terrific. And John had never been to the city, which I think was an advantage to me, because he, you know, he asked for descriptions that I may not have thought to give. But I, you know, I also knew I was writing for the world. The world reads National Geographic.
Your story has a largely optimistic tone, realistic about the city's challenges, but optimistic, I would say. Did you anticipate the level of optimism you found?
No, I did not. I was surprised. I haven't worked full time in the city for several years. You know, I pay many visits. But talking, you know, driving around, talking to strangers, talking to people I met in lines and in stores and everything, people were geeked. I mean, there's really no way to put it. Even people who said to me, you know, the improvements will never make it to my neighborhood, were excited to see the heart of the city, as most people put it, the heart of the city beginning to glow again. I was startled. I mean, nobody was pessimist. Well, that's not true. There were a couple high level people I talked with. Analysts, those kind of people who said if Dan Gilbert decides he doesn't like Detroit anymore and falls in love with some other city in America, things could really collapse. Well, of course. But that's the only it wasn't even pessimism. It was just sort of a realistic assessment, because so much of the development of the city is riding on the money of Dan Gilbert, who runs Quicken Loans and owns dozens, scores of buildings in Detroit.
We're talking with Susan Ager, who has written about Detroit in the May issue of National Geographic. National Geographic is known, of course, for its photography. I wanted to ask you to tell me about Wayne Lawrence, who took the images that accompany your story and the pictures that were chosen.
Well, I can tell you first that Wayne and I never met each other. Wayne is from Brooklyn. He spent 6 full weeks in the city of Detroit, on the ground in the city, looking for people to photograph. And what I know about, what I've learned about Wayne is that he's from Jamaica originally, or his I think he was born in Jamaica, but his family heritage at least is Jamaican. And he too had never been to the city of Detroit, and I'm told was really captivated by it. His method is he uses, oh, I'm not a photographer, so I don't know the right language, but he uses one of those sort of old-fashioned big cameras that you slide a plate into, you know? Do you know what I'm talking
about? Sure, oh, sure.
Anyway, but he uses one of those, so he has an assistant with him, and so he poses his photos, as was clear, and one of the things I learned was that he tells all of his subjects, don't smile, just look at me, which I thought was fascinating. And he had some other just amazing photos that he caught of other amazing people in Detroit. And the photo editors make all those choices on which photos to use. At first, because no one was smiling, when I first saw some of the images, because no one was smiling, I thought, oh, my Lord, this doesn't jibe with the feel of my story. But I think the editors picked images, especially the opening image of a woman on a bike, with the Rensen behind her in the distance, and she's got the tiniest little smile on her face, and that's the lead photo with the big headline that says Taking Back Detroit. So I think there's a sense of strength and pride in those photos.
Well, I really like the mix of the images, African-American faces and some white faces, casual dress and some people who are very nattily dressed. And the pictures of buildings are also striking to me. They tell the story of the city's challenges without resorting to what lots of people call ruin porn, pictures that seem to revel in the worst of the worst.
That's right. Well, in our first conversation, Susan Goldberg, whose family is from Detroit, said to me, I don't want any more ruin porn. And that was a little, you know, in writing the piece, I had to include what I saw, and in the piece I said that I sort of ricocheted between hope and despair, because in some of the far-flung reaches of Detroit, there are no new bright lights. It's pretty dire. And, people have said to me since they read the piece, and of course this is the next big question, is what should become of those far-flung reaches of Detroit that are emptying out very fast. Young people are leaving, old people are dying, houses are being abandoned. The mayor is doing a good job tearing down abandoned houses. Other people are buying abandoned houses in nice neighborhoods, in neighborhoods with a future, but some of those distant neighborhoods don't have what looks like any immediate future. So that's the big question.
Susan Ager is our guest. She wrote Taking Back Detroit in the May issue of National Geographic magazine. Susan, you spent 25 years at the Detroit Free Press, and I think a lot of readers, myself included, were really pleased to see your byline again. Maybe
thank you.
Haven't kept up with you. What have you been doing since your time with the Free Press?
Well, I left the Free Press in 2008. The Free Press was shrinking, and they were offering buyouts, and I took one. I've had type 1 diabetes for 50 years, and I thought, well, I mean, you know, I want to, and my husband is older than I am, I want to enjoy some time with him, and I don't foresee a long lifespan for myself. So I've been doing, you know, I've been writing book reviews, I've been writing stories about the food and agriculture culture in northern Michigan where I live. But this call from National Geographic really startled me, and now I've done a couple online pieces for them, and I'm working on a big piece, another big magazine piece that will take me to far-flung parts of the world. I don't want to describe it anymore, but so I'm excited to be back in the game a little bit without the stress of the daily deadlines.
Well, this future work of yours, please make sure we're aware of it when the time comes, okay?
Okay.
Susan Eger wrote Taking Back Detroit for National Geographic's May issue. We'll link to her story at WKAR.org if you haven't already seen a copy of the magazine. Susan Eger, thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.